Greetings, it's Dale and John here welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. If you've been following along in our project timeline, you know that we've initiated the investment grade audit, and the owner has collected a significant amount of information about the sites, the facilities and their systems, challenges or areas that may need special attention, as well as the historical utility bill data, and now delivered it to the ESCO. The next step is for the ESCO to collect information from the field, the in-person on-site investigation.
Well, Dale, as you said, most of this information has been provided by the owner to the ESCO already, and perhaps some insights have been gained from preliminary interviews the ESCO may have conducted with those that manage or work in the buildings. Now the ESCO needs to get into the buildings, the facilities, the mechanical rooms and spaces, and start the first-hand surveys of the equipment and the systems themselves. The overall results of this detailed survey will lay the foundation for the development of an accurate energy and water baseline. For an ESCO to provide a paid-for from guaranteed savings project, it's in all parties' best interest that the ESCO field verify and validate all the information that's been provided to them by the owner.
Yeah, it goes without saying that just the word survey can mean a lot of different things to different people. Fundamentally, for our use, survey is the process of investigating the sites, identifying, recording an inventory of equipment, complete list of systems and devices, including but not limited to lighting, both indoor and outdoor, heating equipment and cooling systems, automated controls, air distribution systems, outdoor ventilation systems, exhaust systems, electric motors, transformers, even vending machines. Specialty systems like kitchens or dining equipment or labs or computer rooms, land closets, renewable energy systems, really anything using energy or water, down to and including plug load inventories. For water, the list may include restrooms, locker rooms, cafeteria fixtures, irrigation systems, and makeup water for heating and cooling systems. Admittedly, this is a long and detailed effort for the specific purpose of capturing and being able to display and subsequently reconcile to the utility bill what is consuming energy and water and when.
Boy, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Dale. Physically inspecting and formally recording the equipment's plate data or the manufacturer's operating specifications, like motor horsepower or chiller and boiler capacities as two simple examples, is the first critical step in conducting the survey. Once complete plate data is in hand, the ESCO needs to ascertain the detailed operating parameters of the equipment that are relevant to each system. Elements such as hours of operation, specific control strategies, varying load characteristics, and a whole lot more. If no accurate logs or records exist, the ESCO may need to install utility monitoring devices to obtain this very important information. Without this level of detail and information, it would be impossible to achieve an accurate, in-depth analysis of the energy use patterns of the equipment. So you can see this process is more than merely taking a cell phone out and taking pictures of air handlers and boilers and other pieces of equipment. That said, though, photographs of the surveyed equipment can add significant value to an IGA report by illustrating and documenting the conditions observed.
Yeah, it's startling to some that we're looking for all this information, including the plug loads and even parasitic loads. All of those chargers and clocks and storage devices and printers, all the stuff we leave plugged in, including the plug strips that are powered in that nobody's even using. Every piece of equipment or device that regularly consume energy. This is where the audit becomes a real science. To inventory all these pieces of equipment, survey how and when they're being used, and come up with a reasonable and credible representation of what is using power and water and when, so that there is a clear understanding of how efficiency can be employed.
That's right, Dale. All equipment and all devices and how they're used during a given day, a week, a month, during each season, and throughout a given year.
So the work here is more than the inventory or survey. It sort of begins to bleed into the actual analysis. Estimating these loads and their impact becomes an elegant enjoining of what we know about the consumption of energy and water from the utility bills and how it's parsed out and reconciled with the loads identified, when it's being used, and who's using it. This sort of comprehensive audit does a marvelous job of helping all parties understand the real-world limits of potential of savings and serves to identify where significant efficiency and modernization can occur.
Because we know what the actual baseline energy use is from the previously collected utility information, the task now is to determine what portion of these end uses contribute to the total utility usage. I use the term to disaggregate the end-use loads or to separate the individual impacts these end-use devices and systems have. Accurately reconciling the individual energy and water use loads with utility bills is the level of verification that needs to be accomplished by VSCO in order to develop a realistic and credible utility baseline, one that both the owner and the ESCO have confidence in.
You know, John, I think what you said is really important. This whole facility, whole project, comprehensive baseline looks at loads and consumptions and is representative of all utilities being used under certain conditions and places bounds or limits of reasonableness around the savings that might be projected from future installed measures. It needs to be clear between the owner and the ESCO that the audit explicitly defined this inventory, that it illustrates this reconciliation and looks at what is impacting consumption, and that all the impacting variables are identified. This then serves as the appropriate starting point for all proposed changes.
And when presenting this established baseline, the ESCO should include all the information authenticating the results. As a minimum, an equipment list, the verified occupancy levels at differing times, the temperature, humidity, and light levels, the various times when spaces are occupied and when they're not. It should also include things like vacation schedules, all the things that we've mentioned along the way that are part of this information gathering and validation, and how it all comes together into that final reconciliation of all the loads and all the variables that impact it. But let me underscore this. The requirements, as we've described, that the IGA contain all collected background information and the reconciliation to the utility bills, along with the documentation of all the variables that impact the loads, is found in the ESC guidance contracts that we continue to refer to.
Agreed. And if there are modifications or some reason why the contracts are not to be followed to the letter, those reasons and the specific changes need to be made clear prior to the solicitation of the project so that all the respondents know what's being asked of them. And if having received the solicitation, an ESCO thinks, well, some of this is just not necessary, before or at the submission of their response is the only time to take exception. This clarity, those agreements, are some of the most important guidance to avoid any future dispute. Ensuring real clarity on following the contractual guidance is a clear value of having third-party oversight. Turns out it takes experience and knowledge to know what must be cleared up front, and the impact that decisions today may have on the project now and for the full term of the agreement.
Boy, you're spot on, Dale. These expectations need to be set, be clear, and be well documented between the ESCO and the owner. And the timing of setting these expectations is so important. But another real value that comes from the field audits are the little discoveries that sometimes show up when you're fulfilling a survey and inventory. It never hurts to grab a quick photo of the actuator arm that has slipped off the linkage as an example. These sorts of documented discoveries may explain why there may be chronic comfort issues in some areas, such as it's either too hot or too cold in here, or why the energy used by a piece of equipment suddenly skyrocketed. You know, just because the equipment is there doesn't mean it works properly. it's important to understand what impacts energy and water consumption and that the equipment designed to control the space is actually working how it's supposed to.
Well said, John. All this work that we've defined now results in what the ESC documents define as a baseline. Now, just to be clear, we know there are other processes and other methodologies, some quite abbreviated, that may be followed at times to establish other sorts of baselines. And we'll cover more about that concept in a future episode. So then that leads us into the next step. With all this data collected, the ESCO may begin to identify what the potential energy conservation measures, or ECM opportunities, begin to look like. Combining the owner's needs and desires with what's been documented and observed in the field and through the inventory, what makes good engineering and economic sense will begin to form the preliminary list of potential measures that are worthy of additional study. Well, that's all for now. We look forward to you joining us on our next episode of GESPCU. See you next time.